the highlight for me to be here. The Waverley congregation has been behind us and holding our arms high. We appreciate you so much, and we really, really, all we have to say about Waverley is good. It's great to be here, and I am happy to tell you that is my tie straight? I thank Brother Ray for helping me with my tie. The wind's a knot. This is a great help to me. I want to talk to you this morning about service. Earlier it was read to you, John chapter 12 from verses 1 through 8. To my mind, this is one of the most important passages that we can use for service. And therefore, the purpose of my lesson this morning is to show you and to tell you that we all can be of service to Jesus Christ our Lord. Here, this passage is also recorded in Matthew chapter 26. And we'll find that Jesus then tells everyone that the sacrifice of this woman will be told everywhere where the gospel is going. And therefore, when we look at this woman who comes to Jesus and anoints his feet, here are several lessons that we can learn. There are many applications that we can use to that. And I would like to speak about some of those this morning. Obviously, time will prohibit us from going in too deeply. In Africa, you cannot really place your sermon very high. You have to talk down to where the children can understand you. But I know, growing up on the farm, that if you put your food low enough for the calves, the cows can reach it. And if you put it too high for the cows to reach it, then the calves, of course, cannot reach it. And therefore, if my lesson is simple this morning, this is the way that we are presenting it in Africa. I want to tell you that, first of all, this woman comes to Jesus and she anoints him with a very, very costly nard ointment. This nard was a vegetation that grew up on one of the high mountains just above India and Pakistan. And obviously to get this off the mountain, produce it in a shape and a form that could be used, made it very, very costly. Also, we know that Matthew's account says that when she came, she broke the bottle. Those days, they did not have canned fruit bottles like we have, or lids, or any way of sealing the ointment. And therefore, we find that she breaks that bottle. And she pours the whole content on Jesus' feet. And then she dries this with her hair. What a beautiful tribute to Jesus Christ our Lord. My text tells me that this was done 6 days before the Passover. To my reckoning, this was done on the first day of the week. Isn't that right? And therefore, to me, the first application is that when we come together on the first day of the week, this is the ideal time where we can bring sacrifices, when we can bring ourselves to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Apostle Paul certainly says in Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 that we need to be living sacrifices. We find that this woman comes with this very, very costly nard ointment. And it is housed in a bottle that's broken. And that tells me that you and I, we couldn't do much about the bodies that God has gave us with. Well, we can trim and we can work and we can work on our bodies to keep it the way that we can be productive for many years to come. But at the end of the day, your facial features, your bodily features is what God has given you. You cannot do much about the urn. But you can do much, everything, about what you place inside that bottle. And this morning I want to assure you that that bottle was broken. And the Hebrew writer tells us that it is appointed unto all men to die, and after that to face judgment. And therefore, we need to know that our body, yes, if we are fortunate, we can live 70, 80, 90 years of age. But then we will go the way of mankind, and we will die and be buried. This body is going to go back to the soil, but what will live on is what you and I have placed in that bottle. And I want to assure you this morning, what made that bottle expensive? It was not the bottle. It was not the shell. It was not the housing. It was what was inside the bottle that made that a very, very costly nard. This woman brings that, and she anoints Jesus' feet. On the first day of the week, I want to tell you that the previous text tells us, in the previous chapter, that her brother, Lazarus, was dead. Jesus came from Galilee probably about 4 or 5 days after he was buried. And then he told the tomb for Lazarus, when they rolled the stone away, he told the tomb, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out of the tomb in chapter 11. And we find then that this meal was in Jesus' honor. Obviously, this was a Thanksgiving meal, a Thanksgiving dinner that was presented to Jesus for what he has done to his family. Jesus was in Bethany at this time. It's just outside of Jerusalem. When you go through the Kidron Valley to Bethany, it's just 7/8 of a mile, very, very close by to Jerusalem. And the whole gathering of people were there. It was a situation that was very tense on the one side. In the previous chapter, you will see that the Jews persecuted Jesus, or they wanted to destroy him, and he had gone to a deserted place. And now he is in Bethany. It was a situation where family and friends came together, where they encouraged one another, a place where they celebrated a man who was dead, but who was alive again. Do you see the way that we can compare it today? We celebrate today Jesus who came in the flesh, but he is alive. And how much this story that is given to us is showing us that to serve Jesus, we find that that woman did not only pour a little bit of that content out. There was no way for her to reseal, to put the lid on this bottle. It was broken. She used every drop. She served everything on Jesus' feet. We find, therefore, that service is, we cannot in our service dictate, this is how much I am prepared to give. Oftentimes, life treats us in different ways. Let me tell you about Marcel Petty. Marcel Petty came in the middle 40s, maybe early 50s, he came to South Africa. He was working up in Pretoria, starting a congregation, working with Christians there. The church at that time said, we need a place that we can call our own where we can come together as families. Oh, the people were poor. Everybody said, well, I can afford to bring this, I can afford to bring this. And they had to put some sum down for the last sum. And Marcel said, we've got it. I'm going to sell my car. And I'm going to bring the proceeds, and we're going to purchase the ground. I will buy myself a motorcycle. I don't know why he did that route, because his wife was heavily pregnant. But he sold his car, put that money together, and a property was bought. A couple of weeks later, his wife was in hospital with the birth of a baby. Marcel, on his way to the hospital to assist his wife, had an accident and he died. What a sacrifice this man made for preaching the gospel to people in Africa. I wish I had time this morning to talk to you about Elder Eccles, Joe McKissick, Joe Watson, oh, and so many hosts of others who have come to my country to bring the gospel, the sacrifices that they have made. Certainly, they have worn their bodies out in our country to preach the gospel to the lost. Here is a beautiful way where Jesus says, leave her alone, because she is doing this for my burial. She anoints Jesus' feet, and we find here that she takes off her veil. Jewish women normally wore veils out in public. And I am certain with many people in the house of visitors there, she would have had a veil on. But she takes her veil off and she kneels at Jesus' feet and she anoints his feet with that beautiful, beautiful fragrance that fills the whole house. Not only Jesus' feet is benefiting, but the aroma is spreading right through the house. Everyone there can smell the beautiful, beautiful perfume of that which she is spreading on Jesus' feet. She takes her hair, and she must have had, the women in the first century didn't cut hair, so that long hair she must have rubbed on Jesus' feet and dried his feet with her hair. Now, I want to tell you this morning that when you do anything in the United States, any company can do it faster, cheaper, more beautiful, less beautiful. If we look at any product and anything that is produced, somebody else can do it a different way. Here, this woman made herself very, very vulnerable by taking off this veil and drying Jesus' feet with her hair. I am certain there could have been people there sitting, other women saying, "You are making yourself cheap by taking your veil off in front of these strangers. What are you doing? Why are you doing what you are doing?" The principle we have here is when you are serving, you are giving of yourself. You are doing what God has given you with the ability that He has given. And therefore, don't allow other people to rob you by saying, "You shouldn't have done it this way." Oh, I was sitting in front of the TV last night and we watched some football. I love American football. We don't see it on that side. When I'm here and I have time, I will watch. And we say, "Oh, you should have done that. You should have done." And we should jump up and down the couch. You know, the people on the couches are not the ones who scores. It is the one who plays in the game. And it's those who are serving, those who are giving of themselves, those who are giving their lives and their aroma spreading everywhere, those are the ones who are in the middle of service. Yes, they could have done differently. Yes, they could have been more efficiently. Yes, she could have done something else. But you know what? She chose to do it that way. And Jesus says, the story will be told wherever mankind is going. And therefore, when we look at this lady, she is a tremendous lesson for us. Yes, there was, of course, a situation where Judas looked at the button and said, "Oh, mercy. This could have been sold for 300 denarii. Denarii was the wages of a common man during those days. Now, if you take your minimum wage, you multiply it by 8, and you multiply that by 300, it comes to a tidy sum. This is what this ointment would have cost. I don't think I will ever buy Hetty such expensive perfume. I can't afford it. But I tell you what, here she had invested in that, and therefore her service is rich. It is the best that she can give. What do you give someone who has given your brother back, your loved one, that person who has been there and who's given you all the comfort in the world, instead of giving you weeping, has given you joy? What do you give in exchange for that? And we find here then that she gives that costly nard and she anoints Jesus' feet. And Jesus says, the ministry of this woman will go worldwide, wherever the gospel is spread. Oh, loved ones, Judas pointed to her and said, "This should have been sold. And the money should have been distributed to the poor." Jesus, of course, retorted, "The poor you will always have with you. And then John writes in there, he says, this is Judas, who? The Judas who would betray Jesus. He puts that in, the one who would betray Jesus. But this is also Judas, the one who was a thief, who would put his hand in the pocket where the money was stored. We know from Luke chapter 8 that Jesus had many people who supported him in his ministry. And obviously, here, Judas was the one who handled the money. I've often thought, but Jesus had a tax collector there. Why didn't Matthew do the work with the money? But Judas was the one we find then that John says he was a thief. And he was the one then who robbed the other disciples of what was given there. I want to tell you that yes, financial implications always is bringing into something when we do something. And certainly when we look upon our Lord Jesus Christ, what can we give in exchange for our souls? If you remember where you were, the Apostle Paul says to Titus, in Titus chapter 3, some of you, this is what some of you were. We were hating one another. We were people who were sinning, people who were hateful. And yet you were born again. You were washed. You were cleansed. You received the Holy Spirit. What can we give for our salvation? Can any money atone for that? I don't believe so. How can we buy salvation? There's no way you can do that. But I tell you what, this woman brings a sacrifice as a giving of thanksgiving, of praise. And although some people point fingers, the sacrifice that she made will live until eternity. And people will draw lessons from that. I want you to know that your sacrifice that you make, that Jesus is very much aware of what you are doing. Here this woman comes and she anoints his feet. He is aware of that. He doesn't tell her, go away. He accepts that because he says, nobody's going to anoint my body. And therefore, she is already doing it for my burial. I think there's an important lesson in here that we can apply on a family line. Oftentimes in the family, we might reach a stage in your life where you become older, where you have been sick, where you've been in a situation of want, and you have others helping you. If you are me, it is very, very difficult to stand like this in front of somebody else. To receive something from somebody else is difficult for us. Because Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And oftentimes we are proud, too proud, to allow our children to help us in our times of need. And when we need a hand with something, we try to do it ourselves because we feel that, hey, I can do this. And yet Jesus gives her the freedom, the joy, because he knew her heart. And he knew her heart was so full that she had to express it in some other way. And he allowed her the liberty to anoint his feet. Sometimes you, in your situation that you find yourself in, just need to allow people to minister to you. And in the end, not to say anything but thank you. Because this is the reason why people are doing it. Not to achieve anything, but just because of who you are, a child of the King. They want to help you to be a little bit more comfortable. And sometimes we just have to accept that instead of complaining it was not necessary or you spend too much or you do being whatever. A simple thank you very much will do. Here we find that Jesus then receives that worship, this sacrifice of this woman. And I want you to know that as Jesus is here this morning, he knows us. So Jesus is with us when we serve and when we help other people. My lesson this morning is finally this. Don't allow others to rob you of sacrifice that you can render to others because you love our Lord Jesus Christ and because you know that these people are creatures of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go through this world as people who are looking for opportunities to serve, looking for ways that we can make a difference in our situation, knowing that there will be other people who will point fingers, knowing there will be tongues that will wag, but rising above that, that we will say, I'm a child of the King and I'm giving service to Him in the best way I can. This woman is a lesson for you and me. Many, many people have come to South Africa. They spent their times there, their lives there. I know a brother, John Harden, who came to Africa, and he was a great song leader. Did you ever hear John Harden? Oh, he was a tremendous song leader. But he was one of the old school, and he taught the students rudiments of music and all of the different voices, the great a cappella singing. He went up to Venda and did campaigns. This man spent most of his time in the mission field. Sadly, his children were not as closely following the Lord's teachings as John was, probably because John was so much away from home. Sacrifices that we make oftentimes will impact upon families, will impact upon our work, will impact on various other situations. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I am saying that we need to balance our service with what God has given us, because at the end of the day, we will give an account of that which the Lord has blessed us with. I want to tell you that if you are not involved in service in this congregation, there is a place for you somewhere here. There are some tasks that needs to be done. There are some people who are getting older who are looking for other people to take some jobs out of their hands. And therefore, within a congregational setting, there is something that everyone here can do. Out in the world, there are so many tasks that we can do. The greatest of this is to go and preach the gospel wherever we go. To go and be a light of all the nations, to help those who are weak, to look after the widows and orphans, and to be encouraging those who are weak. Yes, God has called us to service. He has given you a body, but what you and I put in that body is vitally important, because this is what we're going to be judged on, not on your outer skin, but what you have inside you is what we're going to be judged on. And therefore, my lesson is, let us use these bodies that God has given us. Put into that something that has the sweet-smelling aroma that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The aroma of Christ. Let us be involved with that, because then the world will know that we are Jesus' disciples and that we love Him. I pray that wherever you are this morning, whether you are here or whether you're listening on the radio, that you will contemplate this lesson. There are so many more things that we can talk about this morning, but for the brevity of time, we would suffice with these points. If you're not a child of God, Jesus is standing knocking on your door, and He says, come, come follow me. The Bible is very, very clear that the Bible teaches us that we need to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not that He was a mere man, but He is God. The Bible teaches us that we need to repent of our past sins. Jesus Himself says in Luke chapter 13, unless we repent, we will all likewise perish. We need to confess that Jesus is Lord. That simply means that I place my body at Jesus' disposal in His service so that Jesus can use me. I am His slave. And then the Bible teaches that we need to be baptized. When we are at the age where we are old enough to believe, to repent, that is the time when we can be baptized for the reason of the forgiveness for sins, so that we'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3 that we will be saved, so that in Acts chapter 2 verse 47, the Lord can add us to His church. If you have never obeyed that command, today is the ideal opportunity for that. Maybe you have sinned and you want to confess those sins and ask the elders of this congregation to pray for you. Maybe you have been lax in your service. and you want to confess that and ask the elders to pray for you, now is the ideal opportunity to do just that. Maybe you are carrying a heavy cross that nobody else knows about, or something which you would like to make visible to all, so that the elders also can pray for you. If you are in need of the invitation, our invitation song is hymn number 674. 674 is our invitation song, and we ask that you come to the front if you need. And if you need anything in these three different lines, please come to the front as we stand and as we sing together.